أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال يا بني لا تدخلوا من باب واحد وادخلوا من أبواب متفرقة وما أغني عنكم من الله من شيء إن الحكم إلا لله عليه توكلت وعليه فليتوكل المتوكلون. ولما دخلوا من حيث أمرهم أبوهم ما كان يغني عنهم من الله من شيء إلا حاجة في نفس يعقوب قضاها وإنه لذو علم لما علمناه ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. ولما دخلوا على يوسف آوى إليه أخاه قال إني أنا أخوك فلا تبتئس بما كانوا يعملون. فلما جهزهم بجهازهم جعل السقاية في رحل أخيه ثم أذن مؤذن أيتها العير إنكم لسارقون. قالوا وأقبلوا عليهم ماذا تفقدون. قالوا نفقد صواع الملك ولمن جاء به حمل بعير وأنا به زعيم. قالوا تالله لقد علمتم ما جئنا لنفسد في الأرض وما كنا سارقين.
الله تبارك وتعالى mentions in these آيات الكريمة the advice of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam to his sons before sending him once again to the king of Misr, not realizing it was his own son. He addresses his sons, وَقَالَ يَا بَنِيَّ لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِنْ بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ. Oh my children, oh my sons, when you approach the palace, then do not enter from one door. Enter from various doors. Why? What was the reason? What was the wisdom behind it? That if someone would see the 10 sons of one father, brave, and then the hospitality of the king towards them, naturally it would create some jealousy in his heart. So divide the whole thing. Don't reveal it to them that you are all the children of one father. Some enter through that door, some through this door, some from here, some from there. Let it remain unknown to them. Nazar, unfortunately, that is why in one hadith Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and from the very same ayat the ulama have extract, if a person has a ni'mat, then it is preferable for him to conceal this ni'mat when he knows that people will make nazar. Don't reveal it to people. Something good happened today, you don't know who you can tell what. The condition, our environment has become so polluted. So polluted our environment is that you might be under the impression he is your most close friend. And never mind friend, your blood brother you cannot trust today. Another, in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-aynu haqqun, nadrun is a reality. Nadr, in other words, when you make nadr, and will the effect of that come on that person, is this just mere fabrications or is it a reality? In the light of the hadith, it is a reality. Now it doesn't mean you must take everything as nadr, but it is a reality. Hazrat Suhail ibn Ahnaf radiyallahu anhu, Sahal ibn Ahnaf radiyallahu anhu, he was taking ghusl. So when he removed his clothes, he looked at his body and he was of very fair complexion. Allah had blessed him with great beauty. Amir ibn Rabi'ah radiyallahu anhu happened to pass by and his eyes fell on the body of Sahal ibn Ahnaf radiyallahu anhu. So he says, Wallah, I haven't seen such a beautiful body, with no evil intention. After all, they were Sahaba ikram. But just the fact that he said this, immediately he fell ill. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Amir ibn Rabi'ah radiyallahu anhu, that you take wudu, perform ablution, and let all the water of the wudu gather in one utensil. And then this water should be taken and thrown over the body of Hazrat Sahal radiallahu anhu. This is the cure for nadar, ulama have written from this very same hadith. This water, you make wudu, it should be gathered in one utensil, and thereafter you pour it over his body, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala cured him. So for the very same reason, not to reveal, as it is, these very same brothers were jealous over the one brother, now the other people will be jealous over these 10 brothers. After all, the father's desire is to protect his children. Ya bani ya la tadkhulu min babin wahidin wadkhulu min abwabin mutafarriqa. Oh my children, don't enter from one door and enter from various doors. Now why did you mention it on the second occasion and not on the first occasion? In the first instance also it was 10 sons of his. Why did he advise his children on the second occasion and not on the first occasion? On the first occasion when they went, then they were as travelers, they were as foreigners. No one knew them. But when everyone noticed the hospitality of the king towards them, who in reality was their brother, it was after this did the reality to a certain extent become manifest. Now people notice that they are treated more superior to us. So as it is now, there are 10 brothers, strong, young and healthy, and then to crown all this, the king treats them much better than us. So for that person who cannot see an ex-Muslim prosperous, it will be very difficult. That is why Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam advised his sons. But وَمَا أُغْنِيَ عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. This is one plan and one idea and one scheme that comes in my mind to protect from nadar. But finally what Allah will decide, I myself cannot control. So from this what do we learn? We've got to tie the camel also. But after tying the camel, if it's stolen, then it was in the hands of Allah Pak. The precautions that were to be taken, he took. He didn't say, no, I put in my trust in Allah, so now enter through one door also. No, let us avoid it as far as possible. We don't want anyone to make nazar. But after that, if someone still makes nazar, then it is in the hands of Allah Pak. وَمَا أُغْنِيَ عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. In the end, my sons, what Allah is going to decide regarding you, He Himself knows best. On that, I cannot hold you responsible, you cannot hold me responsible. It is on the Amr of Allah. Like Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّهُ. If Allah intends some difficulty for you, then there is no one that can remove the pain, the difficulty and the agony and the hardship from you besides Allah. وَإِن يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ. And if Allah intends good for you, and the whole dunya unanimously agrees on harming you, then they cannot harm you. Because the decision of Allah is the majority. It's the final decision. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ. My yaqeen and my trust is on Allah, and oh my sons. This is the nasihat of a father. After all, he was a Nabi. وَعَلَيْهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. And every person should place his trust on none other than Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ. If you will put your trust in Allah, how you should trust Allah. In other words, put in your full yaqeen in Allah Pak. Then Allah will sustain you and Allah will provide you like how He provides a bird. Why a bird? The bird departs from the nest early in the morning on an empty belly, on an empty stomach, and returns in the evening saturated with sufficient food for the other birds as well. With no qualification, with no degree, with no hiring, with no firing, with no conveyance, with nothing, Allah provides daily. So if you will put your yaqeen on Allah, like how Allah is providing for the bird for millions of years throughout the dunya, every bird Allah will provide for you also. Provided your yaqeen is on Allah. And we see it happening. There's a man got one shop, small shop. When you look at him, you think you don't know if the man is living also properly, if he's eating sufficient. But every year that man is going for Hajj and Umrah, in 10 years they've passed by, I still haven't seen the Kaaba. So money is not taking a person. The barakat that Allah has blessed him with, I am deprived of. One small shop, 10 people are eating comfortably. Barakat. وَعَلَيْهُ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. One hadith comes to my mind of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that in Bani Israel there were two people. One borrowed money from the other. So the person who borrowed the money, he told his friend that, look here, we need some evidence, we need some proof, we need some witness. So this person told him, Allah is a sufficient witness for us. Allah is watching everything that we are discussing. And as two Muslims, I will not rob you, I will not cheat you, I will not deceive you or deceive you. Allah is sufficient. Anyway, he agrees. This person takes this money, he had to cross the sea, he had some work. And there was a due date where he had to return the money. Now when he crosses the ocean, the sea, in a different place, the time is approaching. Certain days have passed. He has to meet the payment at such a date. And he's unable to catch any boat or any ship. There's no way that he can cross the ocean once again and return to his friend to settle the payment. Now he's parashan, he says, Ya Allah, I promised my friend and I told him I'll keep up to my promise. And now there's no conveyance, there's no way I can get across, O Allah. And O Allah, I told him that I put my trust in you, Allah. And he agreed, O Allah. And my yaqeen in reality is on you, O Allah. Now how do I get this money to this person, O Allah? He was in one worry, in one state. He was in confusion. This then he found a piece of wood floating nearby. So he held that wood and he thought to himself, says, Ya Allah, when I made the intention, I took your name. And oh Allah, inna wa'adallahi haq, I can go against my promise, but you'll never go against your promise, oh Allah. He took the 1,000 dirhams, he carved a hole and he inserted the money inside there and he covered the hole and he wrote one letter and he placed it. This is the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's in Sahih Bukhari Sharif. And he wrote to this person, he says, this is the condition, I made the promise, but I'm unable because there's no conveyance. But my sole intention was to get the money to you. The utmost, I tried my level best, my utmost best, and this was the most I could do. He placed the money there with the letter, he covered the hole, and he let the wood to float. Anyway, he left it, he says, Ya Allah, if it happens, it happens. Anyway, he still kept on investigating if some boat or if there's some way he can get across. This person waiting there on the very same day, he says, let me go out, perhaps some ship arrived, some people came, and as it is today, I am going to receive my money. He comes out in the search for firewood. When he comes outside his house, he walks a few steps, he finds a piece of wood. So he says, that's ideal for me. I don't have to go and search. This is enough, sufficient. He picks up the piece of wood, not realizing what has happened behind it. He comes home. When he drops the wood, I mean, it wasn't something firm, it was knocked with nails or anything. He finds a letter. And beneath the letter, he finds 1,000 dirhams. He opens the letter. He's astonished, he's shocked. Allah, what's this? He reads the reality, the whole incident behind it. What happened? Anyway, he takes the dirhams, he was really shocked. Few days later, this person pitches up. He says, Maafman, I came to apologize. I was unable to make it, but here's the dirhams. He says, what dirhams? He says, no, I promised you. He says, but didn't you send a letter to me? He says, yes, I did send. Did it reach you? He says, by the qasam of Allah, it reached me, and every dirham is with me. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ وَعَلَيْهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. and Allah alone should we place our trust on. Place your trust in Allah. يَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah says, I will provide for him from such avenues where even it did not cross his mind. And wallah, he provides. Continuing with the waqia.
وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَهُمْ أَبُوهُمْ مَا كَانَ يُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا حَاجَةً فِي نَفْسِ يَعْقُوبَ قَضَاهَا وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ.
وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَهُمْ أَبُوهُمْ. And when the sons of Yaqub entered through the various doors as their father had commanded them, مَا كَانَ يُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا حَاجَةً فِي نَفْسِ يَعْقُوبَ قَضَاهَا. The decision and the desire of Yaqub alayhi salam could not stop what Allah intended. After all the precautions, as we will discuss, one son does not return. Although so many precautions were taken, but one son out of all the sons that went, one does not return. إِلَّا حَاجَةً فِي نَفْسِ يَعْقُوبَ قَضَاهَا. It was one desire of the father, which he desired that his children should uphold. And they upheld it. وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ. And Allah says, after all, Yaqub was our friend. So he did not place his yaqeen in his idea and his scheme. His yaqeen was finally in us. That is why, when his son did not return, then he did not blame, or rather he exercised patience. Because he knew it was from Allah. His plan and his advice for his children was limited to one advice, nothing further. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But majority of insan is unaware of this.
وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَى يُوسُفَ آوَى إِلَيْهِ أَخَاهُ قَالَ إِنِّي أَنَا أَخُوكَ فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ.
As they entered, Yusuf alayhi salam once again recognized every brother. According to the riwayat of Qatada rahmatullah alayh, he took the brothers and he divided them up into rooms. Two per room. Into pairs. Two in this room, two in that room, two in that room. So there were 10 brothers, and with his true and blood brother was Binyamin. So he was left alone, he had no one. All the others had their partners. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam took Binyamin one side. We can imagine what joy he must have experienced when he is seeing his blood brother after the lapse of 40 years. How happy he must have felt on that occasion. When we receive our relatives who return from Hajj and Umrah, after the lapse of 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, it's like Eid at home.
قَالَ إِنِّي أَنَا أَخُوكَ.
Oh my brother, Binyamin, don't worry, I'm your brother. He revealed the secret to this brother of his. Don't bother, I am your brother. I am the king. I'll narrate my whole incident afterwards, but I am your brother.
فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ.
Don't worry about how they have ill-treated you. Forget how they have ill-treated you. Now you are to stay with me here. So from this, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes, was it that the brothers ill-treated Binyamin just as they ill-treated Yusuf alayhi salam? So there are different narrations. But in the end he writes, this itself was a sufficient inconvenience to Binyamin that these brothers caused his separation from his blood brother. This was nothing less. It was because of their action that he was separated from his blood brother. So according to one riwayat, Binyamin said, I don't want to go with them now. I'm tired and I'm fed up of them. Boy, please make a plan, I want to stay back. Quietly, blood brothers are discussing. Make some arrangements, I want to stay here, I don't want to go back. So he says, look here, I can do this, but there'll only be one way, I'll have to accuse you for stealing. He says, immaterial, you can label me as anything, provided I don't return with these people. I don't want to go home, I'm tired and I'm fed up. Call me a liar, call me a thief, call me anything. He says, no problem. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam ordered, there was one utensil from which he used to drink water. Some rewrite it comes it was of gold, some rewrite it comes it was of silver. He says that you take this utensil and you place it in the luggage and in the baggage of Binyamin. That was his blood brother. Each person was given his allotted share, and likewise Binyamin was given his share, and very secretly this utensil was hidden. After speaking to them, making dua, having a long discussion, compared to the others that came, he dispatched them. فَلَمَّا جَهَّزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ جَعَلَ السِّقَايَةَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ ثُمَّ أَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنٌ. They walked for a short distance. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam sent one of his announcers outside to announce, أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. Oh, you thieves and you rogues, where are you off to? قَالُوا وَأَقْبَلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ مَاذَا تَفْقِدُونَ. Attributing lies to us, we are rogues, we are thieves. Says, yes, you people. Now, they are shocked. مَاذَا تَفْقِدُونَ. What are you looking for? What are you searching for? Why are you attributing it to us? قَالُوا نَفْقِدُ سُوَاعَ الْمَلِكِ. We are looking for the king's utensil. وَلِمَنْ جَاءَ بِهِ حُمْلُ بَعِيرٍ. And that person who will bring it will be rewarded with one camel load full of corn. وَأَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٌ. And I am responsible. Anyway, they had to come back. It was the order of the king. But they mentioned side by side, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا جِئْنَا لِنُفْسِدَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا كُنَّا سَارِقِينَ. We came for food here, we are poor, we've come in very far, we've come from a very far place. Where must we come in steal? What have we got to do with your belongings? Why must we come in steal? قَالُوا فَمَا جَزَاؤُهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. Okay, we'll discuss afterwards, are you the rogues or not? This was all the plan of Allah. I will explain in detail now. Is it correct? Yusuf alayhi salam is a Nabi of Allah and he's labeling innocent people as liars? Innocent people as liars, is it correct? According to one tafsir, it was correct in his place, not forgetting the lie that they spoke to their father, that Yusuf has been devoured by a wolf. So they were liars. As a matter of fact, they were liars. This statement of Yusuf alayhi salam can be justified in many ways. I'm just mentioning one thing. فَمَا جَزَاؤُهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. Let's discuss what will be the penalty if you are a liar. Let's clarify that from now. So if you are found to be a liar and you have stolen an item, then we don't want to have further problems. Now, according to the law of that place, of Misr, it wasn't the law. And the reason that they investigated from Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers was that they were the descendants, they were the children of Yaqub alayhi salam. And Yaqub alayhi salam was a Nabi of Allah. So they were more acquainted with the orders of Allah than the people living in Misr, because they were living with their father. And their father used to receive wahi from Allah. So they were full aware what was the punishment of that person who lied in the Shariat of Yaqub alayhi salam. So that is why they questioned them, what is the penalty of that person who speaks a lie? قَالُوا فَمَا جَزَاؤُهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. قَالُوا جَزَاؤُهُ مَا وُجِدَ فِي رَحْلِهِ فَهُوَ جَزَاؤُهُ كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الظَّالِمِينَ. The law of that country was that such a person, the amount of money that he stole, that wasn't the law of Yaqub alayhi salam, I'll explain that now, that the amount of money he stole, double of that would be taken from him. Thereafter he would be beaten and then he would be released. But that wasn't the Islamic law. The Islamic law was, as the brothers, they mentioned, جَزَاؤُهُ مَوُجِدَ فِي رَحْلِ فَهُوَ جَزَاؤُهُ. The person who is found guilty of the crime, you can make him your slave. So whoever has this utensil, that person will be captured, the balance of the brothers will proceed. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الظَّالِمِينَ. فَبَدَأَ بِأَوْعِيَتِهِمْ قَبْلَ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ. They started searching the luggage of every brother. And they started from every brother one by one, leaving Binyamin last. Had they gone direct to Binyamin, then the brothers would have understood immediately that there's something, what we say, fishy. There's something suspicious. So, in a normal tertib, pull away that it is hidden in Binyamin's luggage, and Binyamin been unaware of it. According to some narrations, he was aware because he mentioned it. That is why I mentioned that Binyamin himself took the responsibility that you can label me as a liar. So on that, on keeping that point in mind, by labeling the brothers as liars, we won't have to take that other, the other tafsir, where in the starting they were liars. This was, the probation was granted by the brother himself, justifying the statement of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. ثم استخرجها من وعاء أخيه. When they opened the luggage of Binyamin, the utensil, all the brothers, they didn't know which way to turn. They were ashamed. And like it comes, Allahu Akbar, look at this. This makes my hair stand. They address Yusuf alayhi salam, you know what, O king? He had one brother and he was devoured by the wolf. Because he is stealing, looks like the brother Yusuf, who is also was a rogue. Allahu Akbar. He is a rogue. I think the brother who was devoured by the wolf, he also was a rogue. What must have been the level of the patience of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, my respected friend? قَالُوا إِن يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخُلَّهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Agar ye chori karta hai, to uske bhai ne bhi usse pehle chori ki hai. They telling him to Yusuf alayhi salam, this Binyamin had one brother, and his brother was also a rogue, and he was also a liar. See, his brother is proving it. The blood is flowing in one another. How he was a liar is coming out in him. He had full power, respected friends. The Quran says, فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِ. Yusuf concealed everything. He kept it in his heart. وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ. And he revealed nothing. Allah Pak says, نرفع درجات من نشاء وفوق كل ذي علم عليم. We will elevate the status and the stages of whom we want. There was a time that Yusuf alayhi salam was dropped in the well. Today when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam makes one announcement, every brother has to surrender. That very same brother that they dropped in the well, but Allah is the doer. So it is such that they all have to make sujood before one amr of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عُلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. And Allah says, above every learned person, there is one more learned. That is Allah Pak. Above every person, there is Allah. And in every action of Allah, there is wisdom. What is the wisdom of Allah? It is beyond our understanding. We should not even try and put our intelligence in there. Allah Himself knows what is the wisdom in what amar of His He has kept. Wallah, in every order of Allah Pak, there is so much wisdom, respected friends, that we cannot understand. نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَنْ نَشَاءُ وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عُلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Therefore Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. In his heart, he's speaking to himself, he's consoling himself. He doesn't mention anything when very bravely they make the statement. And to run Binyamin more, this is insulting Yusuf alayhi salam more. One is that they insult him and they attribute it direct to him. And then they are insulting the brother there. He says, أَنْتُمْ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. All what you are mentioning, my Allah is hearing everything. And everything has been recorded by my Allah. Allah is full aware of what is happening, and Allah Himself will decide regarding you. He doesn't mention anything else, and He sends them off. And in this way, he keeps his brother Binyamin back, naturally out of muhabbat, out of shafqat for him, after meeting him for so many years, he keeps this brother back and he allows them to go. Now there's one point here, he makes so much fikr of keeping his brother back, consoling him, consoling himself. In the process, he knew exactly how much harm he's causing to his father, because his father is crying over his separation, and he knows that his father, his muhabbat was transferred to his younger brother after his separation. So he's full aware, when I'm keeping my brother back, I am actually causing more harm to my father. Then why does he still do this? When he's aware of it. And after being a Nabi of Allah. Then he bothers of consoling his brother and himself, why doesn't he bother of consoling his father? Which very briefly I discussed in last week's tafsir. I mentioned the answer for this. It was all the plan of Allah. Like Imam Qurtubi رحمة الله